and welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Vayigash. Let me begin with a thought on the Parsha, which is from Rav Schwab in the name of his Rebbe and tells in Europe. And as you'll see in a moment, it's a Mashava which I had heard from Rav Palm in the name of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Let me begin. In the end of the previous Parsha, Yehuda speaks in a very meek tone to Yosef. He says, he says, what could we answer? We were caught. We're prepared to be slaves. That's how the parsha ends. The end of Parsha's Mikates. The beginning of this parsha, two psukim later, suddenly Yehuda starts to speak in a tougher tone, in a more strict tone, as Rashi says, that he spoke to him in a very stern way. He spoke to him in a very strict way. He was tough, and he spoke in a tough way. It's a very sudden change from one attitude to another attitude. And certainly, there's got to be a reason for it, and not only that, but there's got to be a lesson in the way the Torah portrays this. Now, Schwab brings that the lesson is that actually Yehuda was somewhat afraid. He was somewhat afraid that Binyamin had been caught. And then he remembered ki avdecha orav asanar, that he had guaranteed the return of Binyamin. And because he had guaranteed the return of Binyamin, this gave him the strength, the energy, the courage to be able to do the things that he had to do. The idea is that when a person feels a responsibility, then a person has more energy. If a person feels that something is a job that he's got to do, it's up to him to do it. He feels that a achrayus to do it. That gives him the strength, the ability to do things that he otherwise may not have been able to do. And that is the avdecha orav asanar. Yehuda reflected on his responsibility, and with that he got the energy to do that which he had to do. Many years ago, Rav Palm spoke to Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi had asked a certain Talmud to take a job in one of the yeshivas, a job as a mashgiach. Rav Palm held that this Talmud was still young, he was still not b'kayach, he still was not ready for that type of an achrayus. Rav Nosson Tzvi called him. Rav Nosson Tzvi told him that with the achrayus come the kaychus. With the responsibility, a person gets the energy, gets the ability, gets the maturity to do the things that he has to do. Rav Palm was very moved by that attitude. And that's something that he repeated, he said over to us, to his Talmidim. An attitude that mit the achrayus come in the kaychus. With the acceptance of responsibility, with that comes the energy. And the lesson is that every day in Shema, in addition to the first part of Kriya Shema, which is Kabbalah Soil Malchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the kingdom of God, we also have the second parasha, which is known as Kabbalah Mitzvahs. We accept upon ourselves the mitzvahs of the Torah. That Kabbalah Soil Mitzvahs is meant to be a feeling of responsibility. An achrayus. We remind ourselves that we have certain responsibilities, things that we have accepted upon ourselves to do. Mitti achrayus come into crisis. When a person feels he can't do something, but he then reflects and realizes that it's his task, it's his purpose, it's his job to do, then a person can reach back and get greater energy. I believe Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says a similar word regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's words when Bnei Yisrael asked for the slav. Bnei Yisrael made an extraordinary request. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ha'anechi harisi esa'am hazeh, ha'anechi l'titiyah. Did I carry these children, these people? Were they my children? Did I give birth to them? That you tell me to undertake providing slav for all of them? For Moshe Rabbeinu's expression, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz makes the observation that it, as impossible as it would be to provide suddenly meat for so many people, If indeed Anochi Harifias Amaze Anochi Mandatia, if Moshe Rabbeinu had been the parents of these children, if he had felt the achrayus that a parent feels to a child, and if they in turn had seen, looked to Moshe Rabbeinu that way, it would have happened. Because when there's a sense of achrayus and there's a sense of responsibility, it happens. And that's the lesson of Rav Schwab, really a true lesson for all of us. Busy, we have to hear this, we don't have time for Siddharim. If we feel the responsibility, we feel the achrayus, then we would be able to do it. From a vart of Rav Schwab, I'd like to move on to a vart from Chaim Kanievsky, Yabad L'chaim. In presenting his argument, Yehuda refers to Binyamin as a Yelad Zakunim, somebody who's very close to his father, the Nafshai, Kishurah B'Nafshai. And he says, in the last words before Sheini, that the soul of Yaakov Avinu is tied to the soul of Binyamin. The Baal HaTorah writes, B'Nafshai Kishurah B'Nafshai. The word Kishurah starts with the letters Kuf Shin. Kuf is Gematria 100, Shin is 300, together 400. If you replace the Kuf and Shin with a Tav, Kishura becomes Torah. B'Nafshai Kishura B'Nafshai. Kishura is the Gematria of Torah. What is the lesson in that? What are we supposed to learn from that Baal HaTorah? So Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Sicha says the following. He says that a real connection of love comes when there's a connection of Torah. When someone teaches and another person learns and there's a sense of learning and of teaching that which is most important in the Bria, that which is most central to our existence in this world. When there's that type of a relationship, then there's real Ahava. Nafshai Kishura B'Nafshai. Through the Kesher of Torah, Binyamin was the youngest son and he stayed home with his father. And therefore, there was more learning with that son than with other sons. B'Nafshai Kishura B'Nafshai. The extra strength in this Ahava was based on Torah. And we find that as well by Yosef. Because when the Pasuk told us earlier that Yosef was beloved to his father, it said, Ki ben zekunim hulai. And the Targum Unkelus's taich on ben zekunim is ben chakim hulai. That he is a son of wisdom. What does that mean, a son of wisdom? It means a son who learned his wisdom from his father. Kol ma shalomad Yaakov masar liyosef. Whatever Yaakov had learned, he gave over to Yosef. And therefore, it was a connection based on Torah. A connection based on Torah brings true Ahava. I remember seeing once, I believe, Rav Tzadik, who said the following. He said, Reuven, Shimon, Levi gave Yaakov a hard time. At the end of his life, when it came time to give the brachas, Reuven and Shimon and Yaakov, rather, was very tough with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He was very, very strict with them. And he gave them brachas that were not clear brachas. It was not clear in the psukim that he was giving them brachas at all. He seemed to be giving them mussar. Moshe Rabbeinu also had a difficult time, especially with Shevet Reuven. He had a difficult time with rebelliousness from the Shvatim. Yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave brachas at the end of Zayis HaBracha, he said, Yichi Reuven v'al yomais. He gave a bracha to every one of the Shvatim, even the ones that had given him a difficult time. Rav Tzadik writes, that's the difference between a parent and a Rebbe. A parent sees the tzad ha-musar of his child, the tzad that he has to correct. Whereas a Rebbe has the ahava, the love for the child. So that is a difference in the attitude between father and Rebbe. And that's the idea, Nafshai Kishurah B'Nafshai. The close tie comes from the Rebbe-Talmud relationship, from that special relationship. We noticed in Kriya Shema, we say, V'shinantam Levanecha, teach it to your children. The Gemara says, Elu HaTalmidim, that refers to students. Later it says, V'limadetem Oysam Es B'neichem, teach them to your children, and there it refers to children, Namish, to actual biological children. Question. Normally, when you have a pasuk twice, the first pasuk is the simple pshat. And the second time it's repeated, we say, well, why is it repeated a second time? It must be coming to teach us something different. So I would think the first bar necha, the first children, should be biological children. And the second one, which would be now extra, should be the one we dasher for Talmidim. That's not the way it is. V'shinatam levanecha elo Talmidim. It seems that Torah understands that true banim are Talmidim. And it's only the second banecha, which is darshaned to refer to actual children. It's a pelletic chiddush. The Gemara actually says, Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabbi, Avedas Rabbi Kedemis. The Gemara says that when it comes to giving respect for a father or a Rebbe, the Rebbe is first. Rabbi Mevi'e Olam Haba. And this idea is the idea of this related to this very special kesher that a Rebbe and a Talmud have to have, but that depends. When you go to a shir, when you learn from somebody, if you're just getting information, that doesn't develop a kesher. But if you have this feeling, this hergish, that the connection is a connection in doing that which is most important in this world, that which brings a person to Chaye Olam Haba, to an eternal life, then there's a kesher, then there's a love. That hergish brings out the Ava, the Chiva, and that's something we have to learn to be able to appreciate. So one thought from a Schwab, one thought from Chaim Kanievsky. Let me move on. Kipi ha-medaber aleichem. Yosef proved that he was Yosef because he said, my mouth is speaking to you, and Rashi says, I'm speaking in Lashon Kodesh. Last year we discussed this, the idea that Lashon Kodesh is something very unique in the fact that somebody who has a spiritual level can speak Lashon Kodesh well. And it shows spirituality that he was able to speak in Lashon Kodesh. And this was the idea that I mentioned last year. This year I'd like to add, because I see that there's a Rashbam, a Peladik Rashbam. When Moshe Rabbeinu says at the Sneh, Ani Aral Sfasayim, that I am a person who doesn't speak well, the Rashbam says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke well when he spoke to Klal Yisrael, when he spoke in Lashon Kodesh, when he taught the Torah, he was a marvelous teacher. What was the problem with Kipi Hamedaber Aleichem? Because he was speaking Lashon Mitzri. He was speaking a foreign language, a language that is lacking Kedusha. If anything, in Mitzrayim, it has the Makom Nus, Zima. Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to speak. He stuttered. He had a hard time getting the words out when he was speaking Lashon Mitzri. When he spoke Lashon HaKodesh, it came in very smoothly. The Ragged Shavar brings this Rashbam to explain. It says, Yisrael mi Mitzrayim beis Yaakov mi Am Lo Yeis. The Jewish people left Egypt. Mi Am Lo Yeis. They left the land of a foreign tongue. Why was it a foreign tongue? They were there for 210 years, even though they spoke Lashon Kodesh. But certainly they knew Lashon Mitzri, the Egyptian language, as well. The answer, of course, is it's a foreign tongue because it's not a tongue of holiness. It's a tongue of Znus and Zima. And therefore, a holy soul found it hard to speak the language. And that's another insight into the Maila of Lashon HaKodesh. I'd like to end with a difficulty that I had. Actually, two different problems that I had in the parasha. One has to do with two Rashis, and one has to do with two Rambans. Let me start with the two Rashis. This morning, I actually got to the end of the parasha in learning Rashi. And in doing so, there seem to be two Rashis which are inconsistent, which explain the same word in two different ways. And that's in Perek Mem Zayin, the Perek with which the parasha ends. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi explains the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lechem Lefi Hatov. Yosef provided food, Lefi Hatov, according to the amount of children. Rashi says, Lefi Hatov, Lefi Hatzorach V'chol B'nei Beisam. Since Rashi is saying, Tav is not only a small child, it's Kol B'nei Beisam. Anybody in the house is included in Tav, in child. Fine, no problem with that. However, a dozen psukim later, in Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says a very similar pasuk. Yosef is providing food, l'asher b'vateichem, v'le'echoy l'tapchem, and to feed l'tapchem. Here Rashi says, banim ketanim, small children. Why in one pasuk does Rashi say tapchem refers specifically to small children? And in the other one, Rashi says, whoever is in the house, whoever is in your home is included. It's the same word, taf. There seems to be a contradiction in Rashi. A contradiction in the Ramban. The Ramban, in the beginning of the parasha, when he brings that Paroi said, I'm sorry, the Ramban, in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, when Yosef is told to bury his father in Mitzrayim, the Ramban brings the well-known Chazal, that Paroi said, Bimatir Neder, you promised your father you'd bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Bimatir Neder, I want him buried in Egypt. And to that, the response was, if I'm Mata that Neder, I could always be Mata the Neder that I swore not to tell people you don't know Lashon Kodesh. So Ramban goes with this idea of Chazal that Paroi was not fluent in Lashon Kodesh. Now that seems to be inconsistent with the Ramban in our parasha. On the pasuk I mentioned earlier, Kipi Hamedaber Aleichem, Rashi says that Yosef's sign was in the fact that he spoke Lashon Kodesh. The Ramban says, Inenu Raya. He says, it's not so. The fact that he spoke Lashon Kodesh is no proof. The land of Canaan is close to the land of Mitzrayim. And people in neighboring countries can speak the language. And he says, V'rabim v'mitzrayim yoydim ha'isay. Many Egyptians knew Lashon Kodesh. But there, the Ramban seems to disagree with Rashi. And says Lashon Kodesh was well known. In Parshas Vayechi, though, he goes with the approach that Paroi did not know Lashon Kodesh. And that seems to be an inconsistency, certainly something for you to think about. With this, my time is up for today's session. I wish everybody an extraordinary, wonderful Shabbos. Kol tov.